It's one small step for me.
Out for the. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Here's What's Going On podcast with me, AJ. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into the ABCs. We'll be coming from the book Great Stories Don't Write Themselves, Criteria-Driven Strategies for More Effective Fiction by Larry Brooks. And we're coming from the section where he's talking about more than a few writers harbor the hope that their novel will change lives. The hope that it might convey the meaning of life or sell a particular point of view. This is a fine intention when held in the right perspective. It can become the key focus of a literary novel, but until you figure out what happens in the story that leads readers to that glorious illumination, it remains just as it sounds, an outsized, albeit noble, literary goal. When the pursuit of that goal trumps the reward of the reading experience itself as expressed through a vicarious and empathetic dramatic arc and nuanced character development, then you've crossed a line within genre fiction that can take you down. Our highest and best purpose is to deliver a gift to our readers, but chances are the meaning of life is beyond our reach. Rather, ours is a gift of entertainment and escape and emotion and enlightenment through the presentation of something happening. A vicarious journey, perhaps in the form of an emotional roller coaster, a three hanky ending, or something that touches hearts and enriches minds at the same time. A shock to the system, a story they will feel, an experience readers will remember and be thankful for that becomes a return on their investment of time. When the meaning of life is concerned, it is best to allow the reader to connect the story to their interpretation of real life as they please. When you imbue your story with the variables and challenges of the world, that will most likely be all the thematic spice the story needs to reach the hearts and minds in any genre, including literary novels. As everyone probably knows, I'm a writer. I love to write. I've started trying to write every day, at least a little bit every day, just to kind of form the habit and strengthen it. And it creates ideas for me to get those flowing as well. But, you know, I'm happy. You know, I finished Grit again. You know, I reread some of my books there, and I was rereading Grit, and I finished it. And, you know, now I'm moving on to a more so story guide kind of like book, an enhancement book to help hone some skills and enlighten me with other skills I may not already have. But moving right along, what I'm listening to, I was listening to another podcast, Here's the Thing, with Bridget and Mandy B, and I was listening to them kind of talk about the toxic stuff going on with Drake right now, which I didn't know was going on. I didn't know, like, he was doing, like, videos had been leaked to him or any of that stuff. I just saw, like, on Instagram that they were, like, talking about a little bit of it, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not that big of a Drake fan. I mean, some of his songs are good or cool or whatever, but I've never really been a huge major Drake fan, other than, you know, when he first was coming out. But yeah, after that, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, he's got some, like, really good songs or whatever, but I'm not a big fan. Moving on to what I'm watching, I was rewatching Rick and Morty still, and I finally finished it up to the point to where I am now. I finished it, and it was just such a very well-told story. I feel like in their final season, well, if it's their final season, I don't know, in the last season that they had, I feel like they really delve into a deeper story, other than just, you know, every story doesn't connect, but there was like a thread that was threaded through each story about, you know, Rick going on this adventure with Morty to find the man who killed his wife originally and why he was doing it and delving deeper into self and understanding and why we do the things we do and what is the motivation and is sadness the motivation and if sadness is the motivation, what are the fears of that and do we fear being alone, do we fear, you know, it's just very good, like it was very introspective. And I like those kind of ones, like, you know, Steven Universe. Like, when I watched that, I didn't know how great and good and wholesome and introspective and self-evaluating that show was. You know, it was crazy. It was such a good show. But, yeah, moving right along into the second part of, again, you know, it's a little bit different. I'm taking a break from the We're Not Really Strangers questions, and I'm going to review the Origin movie. the movie Origin by Ava DuVernay. And this is part two. And I'm basically going to be talking about how I was irritated by people continuing to say that this movie is sad and blah, 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 because they're speaking from a place where they haven't experienced a certain level of grief that Isabel does and has. Isabel's ability to be vulnerable when she visits her friend while researching her book, where she somewhat breaks down and says she wants to scream. You know, grief is like that. It's a roller coaster of emotions. I understand it on my own level, of the anger I used to feel after my dad had died, that the world just kept going. There's something in the brain that just doesn't compute that there's a world after my dad died. Well, didn't compute that there's a world after my dad died. There's a world after my mom died. I have to live after my parents died and still find purpose and joy and experiences. There was a time where that was crazy to me. But I think for a person like me, I enjoyed Origin very much. I enjoyed how the story was told because I feel like it wasn't to change people's mind that race isn't a big deal or a systematic problem, but or a major problem as it is, but it was to get you to think that there perhaps, you know, there's a larger issue that's affected, you know, not black and brown people, but anyone that's deemed as being a threat to a certain race's existence. And I'm glad I caught, you know, 3:30 shit viewing so I could head over to watch the movie right after work. Because I've been wanting to see the movie. And I follow Ava DuVernay and love the way she's able to tell uncomfortable stories with depth. And I wish she could get the major funding that she deserves. But I guess we need another Ocean's 26 remake that no one asked for. Origin, you know, it threads a tapestry that while it is documentary at times, I like the collage it forms. I like how it's biopic. I like how it's about grief. I like how it's about so many different things that encompass, you know, who a person is and who we become and what we are and how life, you know, affects us at certain levels. You know, I like how it created questions for me to ask myself and reflect on as well. But moving right along into what I'm grateful for here, I am grateful for having the upcoming weekend off to relax. Like, this year I'm really trying to focus on not burning myself out, and I'm doing a decent job so far. I just can't believe January felt like we lived a year in 1 month. I don't know why, it just did. But I'm just glad that, you know, February is a shorter month, so it's kind of just shooting on by really quickly. I'm grateful for handling situations with a conspiracy theorist appropriately, because some things can go left when dealing with people who are not necessarily mentally stable. I lean more into my intuition and discernment. I had a situation at work with one of the coworkers who's not really a coworker because he works in a different department. But I realized very quickly, like, oh, this guy is a conspiracy theorist. Like, he has some, like, he's one of those people that's constantly online and message boards with people who are like-minded like him, which is cute and cool. But then you become a groupthink meme walking around trying to spew whatever viewpoints you have about whatever it is that you think you know, which may perhaps be based off falsities. So, yeah. But I'm grateful to, you know, lean into my intuition and discernment nowadays, because most of the time it's true and right. But I'm grateful to have, you know, discern that this person wanted a reaction that they didn't get. And I also, I need to know who people are so I can appropriately navigate them in my environment, because the more you know, the more you know about a person and how they kind of are, you can better navigate around them and know, like, you're somebody I'm going to keep on my radar as somebody who is suspicious and may have some issues there, you know, that people may need to be alerted about, because you're making some very, very broad strokes of varying levels of volatile, toxic behavior that may affect other people around you. So, you know, it's good to know the people enough around you to know, like, you seem like you're someone that may need to be alerted about to someone higher up than me about some of the things and comments you're making to me and other people that are a little bit awkward. And creating a social dynamic in the culture that is, in the work culture that is uncomfortable for others. So, yeah, definitely glad I was able to discern that for sure. And moving right along into the quote, push yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. in the origin movie, there's a part where Isabella is talking about the book, basically the deadline to her agent, and the agent is telling her about how soon the deadline is approaching and how Isabella set this deadline, and the agent is a bit apprehensive with their tone of the comment, you know, they're about like, oh, the deadline's approaching, the deadline that you set. And Isabel replies with what I had to set, you know, she's like, I had to set that deadline because I have no one else to push me now. I myself know what that feels like. And that comment does rest in my mind because my siblings and I have always had to push ourselves to succeed. I would like to think that our mom was, if our mom was still alive, she would definitely have been a major cheerleader in our lives. But that's what, you know, that's a what if that I don't go further on. But this quote says a lot of what I feel. I have to set goals for myself and motivate myself to achieve those goals because no one else is here to motivate me to do so, you know? So before I go, be sure to check out the show notes with my Instagram. Also, check out my books on Amazon titled Poems to Cry To in the Dark and Love Letters Never Sent to Myself, and leave a 5-star rating. All this info will be in the show notes as well. Other than that, I don't have anything else. I'm glad you're still here, and I hope you have the day you deserve. Bye!
Please.